Good morning, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the 2020-21 results of UniEuro. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, please press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti Monterastelli, the CEO of UniEuro. Mr. Nicosanti, the floor is yours. Thank you and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here we have in the new UniEuro headquarters, we have Bruna Olivieri, our new general manager since March, and then Emanuele Agosta, Director of Administration and Control. Let's start the presentation by moving swiftly to page 4 of the presentation, where we can basically see that the fiscal year that ended in February for us was the best performing in over 84 years of heritage. I have to say that the epidemic had really dramatic effects on people and economics. But UniEuro was really able to benefit from the favorable consumer trends that ensued from it, and it was able to close with revenues margins at record-breaking levels. So together with the performance of EBIT adjusted and net income adjusted, there was also an exceptional cash generation amounting to 125 million. So that the net cash at the end of the year amounted to more or less 155 million. And this was also a record-breaking figure for our company. Part of this quite significant liquidity buffer will be invested to speed up our digital transformation. Whereas part of it, we want to give it back immediately to our shareholders in form of dividends. If we actually move to slide number 5, we see that our dividend proposal, it is a great pleasure, with great pleasure that I'd like to announce to you that it is our intention to distribute 2.6 euros per share. This is a very generous dividend, but very ordinary if you think about it, because it does not draw at all from the company reserves, and so it does not impact or affect UniEuro's soundness. Ideally, the dividend that we are proposing is made up of two components. The first part is the dividend for 2021, of course, pursuant to our dividend policy that sets forth the distribution of at least half of the net income adjusted, so that the result here is 1.6 euros. And this is already pretty high if we consider that our coupon has always been about 1 euro in the past few years, very generous in the past two. But on top of that, there is a further, an additional euro, 1 euro, which is the dividend that was to be paid out in 2020, but that we ourselves suggested to last year's general meeting not to distribute. Because, you see, if you remember last year, we had much more serious issues than the ones that we are tackling today. And more than that, we also had the opportunity to access the loans granted by the Cura Italia decree. The government had made available for companies so that it was possible not to distribute the dividend. So we basically asked the shareholders meeting to use the 2020 dividend as a reserve. And we think that this is pretty consistent with our dividend policy that we have always had, also an extremely transparent policy. It is just consistent that today we can give back to our shareholders what we asked themselves to as a sacrifice last year. 2.6 euros, of course, it is a dividend that if you take a look at the listing of the stock yesterday, the price of the stock yesterday is about 10% of the stock price yesterday. And I think that it is really reason for satisfaction for all of us. And if we even think that since the listing on the stock exchange, April 2017, we have always given back over 3 euros as a dividend for our shareholders. And if we add on top of that this 2.6 euros, I have to say that in just over 4 years, we were shareholders were able to be repaid by about 50% of the stock price a few years ago. So this is a way to thank our shareholders who have stayed with us from then until now. You see, consumer electronics is not an easy market, and this really enables us to grow and to really comply with and keep the promises that we made during the IPO. But apart from these news that really are extraordinary and maybe also history-making somehow, I think that we also need to take a look at a more, in a more detailed way to the results that really led us to propose such a coupon. So let's now take a look at the reference market. During the year of COVID, it really grew as it had not been the case for many years. If we take a look at the GfK estimates, it grew by over 8%. And due to evident reasons linked to the different confinements and lockdowns that we were subject to, especially a year ago, well, the boom was experienced by e-commerce, 60%+ on the Italian market, and now it has a 25% market share, 8 percentage points that were gained in only 12 months. So in 12 months, basically what has happened is the different analysts thought that it would, what would happen in 5 years actually happened in 12 months. As to the physical stores networks, there has been a loss there because we had many stores closed about a year ago. And if you think about it, even today, on weekends, you see all the stores in the malls are closed on Saturdays and Sundays. And for a company like ours that has more than about 50% of its stores in the shopping centers and malls, this is not a positive piece of news. But hopefully the lockdown will end in the coming weeks, and I have to say the consumers have changed their habits, so we can really catch up during the week from Monday to Friday. We can really catch up on the missed sales of the weekend. We should not forget that we have 50% of our stores are standalone, so they're not subject to these closures, and our affiliated network, they actually were never subject to lockdown because we're talking about very small proximity stores in the city centers. And of course, the online channel is open all day long, all year round. And as we saw in the numbers that we just commented, this was what really contributes the most to growth. If we now take a look at the channel that grew the most, online +60%, and here Unieuro for the fifth year in a row grew much more, much faster than the market, about 74%, so 14 points more than the market growth. And this really mirrors our philosophy, our corporate philosophy, whereby our main goals are mainly those of growing, outperforming the market every year in all channels. On the right part of the slide, we see really the most important categories. Of course, the gray has very much gained market shares, white, large and small appliances, and brown TVs. They were more, you see, impacted by the lockdowns and restrictions. We shouldn't forget that last year, for a few weeks, the whole network was closed, and it was a difficult choice to make. But you see, what we was first and foremost back then was to guarantee safety to our employees and customers. And the fact that we have tried to respect both our employees and also customers was one of the reasons of the successful numbers last year. Now, let's move on to page eight, and let's take a look at what happened to Unieuro in this very tough year, and a volatile year too. So, of course, as we were saying before, the first quarter was extremely tough. Stores were closed, people in the redundancy fund or furlough scheme, then difficulty in delivering goods in the online market, because of course the whole market shifted onto the online in all industries. Of course, we struggled in really complying with the demand of this channel, that it grew definitely more than the market. It was nevertheless difficult to abide by the shipments and deliveries, because there were sudden closure of logistics centers, couriers that were forced to close, and this really translated into difficulties in serving our customers. All the restrictions that we put in place, and I would say since 22nd, 23rd of February, before our competition and before the industry, so we were able never to close our logistics platform. We were always open, and even in stores. Well, if you think that if we have millions of customers a year there, we were able to really contain the outbreak of the pandemic. This, for us, is a very important result, and also as much as the tantamount as the economic results. As I was saying, we had access to the furlough schemes, and we, of course, had an ongoing discussion with the landlords, and we were able to really have extraordinary results from them in terms of savings on rents. March and April were the most difficult months, but already from May, the market resumed its growth, luckily enough, because millions of people were forced to work and learn from home, and we guaranteed a service. If you remember, we were one of the few store facilities that were open, and the government granted this opening because we were serving most of the Italian population, because Italians were forced to work and learn remotely. People needed the technology so that they could carry out these activities. This was an important service that we provided to our consumers and for the whole nation, I would say. What we see from this slide is that, and we see it also on page nine, is that our business model was absolutely undisputed following the pandemic. Actually, the strategic that we have been really implementing for years, the omni-channel approach and the concept of proximity, we are the retailer that has more stores in Italy, direct and indirect. We have the online channels with Unieuro.it and Moncler, and these websites are leader on the market. If we exclude Amazon, we are market leader on those channels too. Also the great work that we have performed over the years in trying to speed up the digitization and omni-channel approach. I don't want to hide from you that this was really one of the successful factors of the numbers that we saw before. I think that this acceleration really has subjected Unieuro to a strong stress test, to an unwanted stress test. I would say that for the nth time, Unieuro was able to come out of it boasting really extraordinary results. If we take a look at these results on page 10, we see that sales went up by nearly 10%, 9.8%. Really a staggering, buoyant level that had never been achieved. EBIT, sorry, the speaker corrects himself, EBIT adjusted delivered over 48% growth, net income plus 58%. You see, these numbers speak for themselves. And also accompanied by a free cash flow and put in cash NFP that was really extraordinary, because what we try to do is the following. Last year, we deliberately waived the loans granted by Decreto Cura Italia because we preferred to work on our companies to enhance the efficiency, to have more turnover on goods, and this was a very well out-thought choice, but it will enable us now and in the future to have a better efficiency in our company. Then on page 11, we basically see the results in terms of like-for-like sales, because no great openings were targeted this year. Revenues went from, well, if we take a look at the IPO year to today, from 1.7 billion to nearly 2.7 billion today, an extraordinary performance. But I think that many of you who have been with us since then until now in the calls quarter after quarter, we were able to really experience together this extraordinary, basically, path towards an absolute leadership on the market. We see it on page 12, where we see that we were able to really outdistance the second player in the market, to outstrip them. You know, the second player is Media World. For years, we were chasing them, and then we overtook them a couple of years ago, and now I have to say that we really outdistanced them largely, because if we also considered the revenues of the consumer segment, excluding the B2B wholesale, only with the first factor, we would have higher revenues than them. Then, of course, the buying groups that were that benefited from a favorable market, they have different volumes than ours, and because of their own nature, they have no access to the economies of scale where on which we have built our growth path. Then on page 13, we see very clearly outlined in our revenues, the consumer trends of 2020. So retail is stable. We said before that on the market, retail was negative. Then we have the online channel that really has reached record levels. Then an indirect channel is always on the rise, although we have, some stores went from the indirect to the direct channel with the acquisition of stores in the Finiper malls. Then the affiliated, as I was saying, are on the rise, plus 17% in spite of the insourcing of the shopping shop Unieuro in by Iper that were before managed by Finiper before. Then the travel channel, of course, is still struggling. Still today, we have several airports that are closed or partially closed, so it is a channel that today is still penalized by that, but anyway, its weight is less than 1% of our revenues, so we're not really strongly impacted by it. Then the categories we commented before, grey very well, driven by remote working, e-learning and communication needs that consumers felt during the past year. Then white, less stellar growth there, the white goods. But we should not forget that we closed our stores last year. The pandemic broke out. But you see, durable goods are those that are most penalized in situations like this, because in the first months of 2020, the white goods were really dropping double digit. But luckily enough, then in the rest of the year, it resumed its growth. And I say luckily enough because it ended up in positive territory. You see, for us, white goods is our sort of reference category, benchmark category, because we are leader, market leader in Italy, and it is a product category with high margins, and together with it also come services. Services that improve the relationship with customers, but also improve our economics. Really, to talk about margins and balance sheet, I'd like to leave the floor to Emanuele Agosta, who since 2017 is in charge of administration and control of Unieuro.
Thank you, Giancarlo, and good morning, everyone. We are on page 14 of the presentation. In terms of profitability, the 2021 financial year set really important records. However, it should be noted that non-recurring and non-repeatable replicable factors played a significant role, in particular the access to the redundancy fund in March and April, as well as the extraordinary discounts on rents. The cumulative impact of these two elements alone can be quantified at 25 million euros at EBIT level. And although it was useful to compensate for the lack of revenues and margins in the first quarter, it ensured an income buffer in the rest of the year. Adjusted EBIT thus rose by 48% to a record margin of 3.2%, despite a fourth quarter that was less stellar than the previous ones, partly due to the extraordinary bonus to employees for the excellent work carried out at difficulty and the costs linked to the pandemic, in particular shop sanitization and the PPE purchases, and also due to the boom in e-commerce, which brings with it higher shipping costs and payment commission expenses. And then, however, on the other hand, gross profit held up very well, despite an unfavorable channel and product mix, and together with the containment of personnel and marketing costs, brought adjusted EBIT to 86.8 million euros and net profit adjusted to around 67 million. The latter, however, was affected by a higher tax burden compared to full year 2019 and 2020. Let's now move on to page 15, where we have an overview of financial data. From a financial point of view, Unieuro also recorded an excellent performance. That was mainly the result of the operating profitability just commented on. Net of the IFRS 16 accounting effect, EBITDA contributed more than 107 million to cash flow generation, which we measure as adjusted free cash flow. An important contribution of 62 million also came from the working capital dynamic, which was once again favorable. In detail, the credit goes back to the warranty extensions and the related deferrals, whereas the commercial working capital at the end of the year was affected by a higher level of inventories, which were, however, decreasing year-on-year in relation to turnover. The higher stock levels were a choice to cope with possible product shortages, but also to deal prudently with a delicate change of operating system, thus containing potential risks. The 124.7 million free cash flow adjusted flowed into net cash. Because of the absence of acquisitions in a highly uncertain financial year and the non-distribution of the 2020 dividend, because of that, we ended February with a surplus of 154.8 million euros, an improvement on the record level recorded at the end of Q3. Then as to CapEx, classified as fully ordinary, CapEx remained stable year on year at 31 million euros, and where we expect to increase the level during the current year. On page 16, we have an overview of some key operational data. So the shop network remained stable compared to the third quarter. During the year, there was a positive balance of 17 shops between direct and affiliated and the internalization of shopping shops. Restriction on physical commerce had an impact on sales density, which fell by 3 percentage points, but also on the number of active cards and customer satisfaction. The NPS, which is growing in the physical channel, was in fact affected by the inevitable disruptions that the online channel experienced in an unpredictably difficult year. Finally, the company's staff, here counted in terms of FTEs, grew thanks to the hiring of ex-Finiper employees, the new openings during the year, and the strengthening of the Forlì office. I have finished my speech, so we'll hand the floor back to Giancarlo for the final remarks. Thank you, Emanuele. Let us move on to page 18. And this is, we are nearing the end of the presentation. After talking about results and dividends, we now have to take a look at the future. So this future, well, first of all, we will be coping with it, tackling it with a new top structure, as you can see on slide 18. As you can see, since March, we have a new general manager, Bruna Olivieri, a manager who has been with us for 5 years, and the market has known and appreciated her in many different occasions, thanks to her masterful knowledge of the digital transformation and the convergence of sales channels. And then, just a few days ago, we have appointed a new CFO, Marco Pacini, who basically trained both in Italy and abroad in the Fiat FCA Group, and coming from Fiera Milano, a star segment company that he contributed to the recent successes to. And then, with the indispensable support of the people I just mentioned, all the chief officers and the whole managerial team, Bruna and Marco, I'm convinced that they will really be able to speed up change, because we feel that we already need to start there or now, today, at the end of an extraordinarily positive year, but we do not want to rest on our laurels here. We want to really start off from here, because there are many priorities, and many and compelling priorities, also due to the strong changes that there has been an acceleration in some channels, and luckily enough, Unieuro is leader and protagonist in this change, because the pandemic has definitely changed the consumers' habits, and there is no way back from them. So we expect a 2021-2022 year that should be moderately positive. We think that the market can grow, but not as much as 2020, precisely because of that, we have the responsibility to try and find a new change in step, so that we can really turn into the undisputed leader of consumer electronics in Italy, not because we have higher revenues, but because consumers see us as such. And then, we have been able to prove this during the past year. We have proven that we can be very swift, and it is time to carry on doing that. And also, the changes go along these lines, too. We have been working for a few months on a strategic plan that, by the way, for the first time, it will attach a lot of importance to sustainability, and we will be presenting it in the coming weeks. And hopefully, we can be able to really rush as we did in the past 12 months, so that we can definitely go back to comment on a business plan that is really able to move Unieuro towards the future where we want to be as protagonist as we have been in the past few years, and also in the year that just ended. So this is the end of my speech. I'd like to thank you all, and let us now open the Q&A session. We are here for you, and I, myself, Bruna, and Emanuele, we are here for you. Thank you, and I give the floor back to you.
Chorus Call operator speaking. We will now start the Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your keypad. In order to exit the booking list, press star followed by two. Please ask your questions speaking into the microphone. Whoever wants to ask a question now, please press star followed by one now. The first question from Niccolò Storer, Kepler.
Good morning, everyone. I have three questions here. The first one is an update on the trends that you are experiencing in your first quarter, and maybe also your feeling about your stock level on the market. The second question has to do with the comment that you did on the press release concerning the fact that for the coming year, you expect a higher contribution from price mix vis-à-vis than from a volume increase. I was wondering, this improvement in the price mix, to what extent is it due to the strong demand that we are experiencing in the gray products, also considering a supply that really cannot keep up with demand? So I'd like to understand whether this trend is shared by other product categories. And then you mentioned a CapEx increase for digital transformation. Can you give us maybe some more colors on what you want to do, starting from a level that really looks very good? Thank you. So I will start answering the question, and then I'll ask Bruna to chip in too. So of course, the first quarter for us is such where March and April are in continuity with January and February. Of course, demand is not the same as before, with the peaks that we experienced in the months where there was the highest growth last year. So the market is still positive. If I can give a number, estimates of GfK market 2021, estimates is for a mild growth, I would say around close to zero. So a mild growth, as I was saying, but not as last year. Then, as far as the industries or product categories are concerned, of course, the categories that are still on the rise are the IT-related ones, because, of course, students were still forced to learn from home. People worked from home. So the IT market was very low before. The Italian households had a gap with the rest of Europe. We were able to make up for it, most of it, in 2020, but the trend is still ongoing. And today, there is a little less difficulty because, of course, the demand boomed, but we are able to really guarantee availability of goods that is in keeping with demand. What we expect in 2021 is a boom in TV from September onwards, because there is the switch off, as you know, from September. A couple of million TV sets will have to be changed on the Italian market, and Euro is leader here. So we expect a part of this strong surge that will take place from September. Well, you see, because the Italian state sold the frequencies to the telephony companies for the 5G, so we expect a boom in demand. So definitely, there is a factor that really appears in the past 12, 13 months. The market grows more in terms of value than in terms of volume, thus compensating a huge gap with the rest of Europe, where in many product categories, we had much lower average prices. And now life at home makes consumers want to buy better products, better quality products, so better technical features. And this is very important for us because, as you can imagine, a value-driven growth helps the company and the income statement. And then, before giving the floor to Bruna about CapEx, well, one thing is for sure, most of the digital transformation processes will start this year. so we will have significant investments in 2021, and then the first year of our business plan that we will be disclosing in the coming weeks. The floor to Bruna, who will complete my answer.
Good morning, everyone. On my part, too, about CapEx in particular, this has to do with the acceleration we want to pursue in the next 3 years concerning digital transformation. In particular, first year, focus. Well, the most important streams have to do the smart supply chain construction, because the pandemic year has speeded up some consumer trends, in particular the instant shopping. It is now key for an omni-channel strategy, a complete omni-channel strategy, to really bring the product to the right place and as close as possible to consumers. This is very complex for a retailer, whereby there is a seamless experience of customers on different touch points. Second important development streams, the data strategy. We have the implementation of a new data platform, and this goes to support the management of promo and pricing. The infrastructural part on stores will come too, with electronic tickets that has to do with the price management. We think that half of the network today, 7,000 SKUs, will have the electronic tag. This is particularly important to understand, because in the year of the pandemic, for the first time, the online penetration was pushed by 8 points. Italy was able to catch up 2.5 years rather than what would have happened without the pandemic. The prices are now starting to converge. Managing pricing in a seamless way becomes a key success factor for the market leader. These are the main accelerations and implementations. Of course, we also have some remaining work to do with the implementation of the Jetita Prorana, because this went online on March the 1st, a very successful project that did not stop us at all, no disruption. On the very same day of the launch online of the new system, the stores opened on time, all the tickets were issued, and we were very satisfied with this. Also because this represents the first step to build a new data model on which all the strategic developments will be based.
Thank you.
Next question from Fausto Covolan, Fund Manager of EOS Capital.
First of all, congratulations to Giancarlo and the team for the exceptional results. I wanted to ask you a comment on the initiative launched by Fnac Darty, the migration from the guarantee extension to a service that affects the whole customers. Taking a look at the figures, it seems to me that this is a very interesting service, because from now and the coming 3 years, it would mean a recovery of 4.5% of revenues, and also a cash generation that would be 2.5 times higher than the regular warranty extension. Especially the relationship with customers would be boosted, because it is some sort of partnership. You see, it would be a very strong relation. Have you considered this? Can it be applied? Is it feasible in Italy too, not just in France? Can you give us more colors on this? Thank you.
First of all, thank you for your compliments that really need to be expressed to the whole team and the people who worked contributing to these results. So you mentioned this project, Frank Dati, and we have something similar here. Inside our stores today, what happens is that customers can extend the guarantee on the product they buy, but also on the products that they have at home they did not purchase from us. Truth be told, you see, the Italian market is the French market is not very similar to the Italian one. It's not always the case. And one of the reasons for success in our numbers is precisely what you were saying. We have a success level on warranty extension that this already guarantees a strong relationship with our customers, because when we sell this service, and by the way, this service is provided to our customers through our organization and not through an insurance policy. And this is really something, a distinctive factor. So our model is much more expensive. Sometimes customers spend three times as much in order to have this service. But I can guarantee also from the surveys with our customers, and the latest one tells us that over 95% of them who basically signed for this extension, they are happy for the level of service they had when they needed it. And we believe that this is a kind of experience that can be further developed. Numbers are important, as you can see from the figures contributed by services that really provide for margins and cash. But we think, you see, in the product categories where the attachment rate is highest, we have 20-25%. So there's still huge room for growth. Then in some product categories have 5-10%, TV sets 15%. So this means that we are selling many units at a higher price than our competitors, but customers really set up this trust kind of relationship. And we know exactly what these our customers buy. We know when the warranty extension expires. So when that happens, we can extend the warranty, or maybe we can offer a change of the product. And for us, truth be told, this is not something that we came up with. This is something we copied from Dixon, what Dixons were doing in the Anglo-Saxon countries, and we were long-sighted enough to really adopt this approach, and we are the only ones with an internalized model. And because when we started at the beginning, this was subcontracted to third-party companies, and whereas here, in this case, we have better control and quality of the service. And honestly enough, this also enables us to really take home the margins. So what you say about Fnac.it, well, this what we, their initiative was not very successful here, but it is a service that we, a similar service that we provide. What we want to focus on is to expand the warranty extension, trying to raise the attachment rate, and so that we can have important growth potential. Thank you very much. Next question, Giuseppe Grimaldi, Mediobanca. Good morning, and congratulations for the stellar results. I have three questions. The first one is, considering what you said of the press release, a good first part of the year, is it reasonable to expect a first half with similar growth rates as the previous quarters? Then, considering a channel mix that will balance off
towards the retail component more than the online, is it reasonable to expect an improvement in the gross margin? And the third one has to do with an M&A, an update on the pipeline, please. So the first half compared to the first half last year, this year the stores are open, so the trend is positive. But as I said before, I'd like to be transparent here, we do not expect the same growth rate as last year. This is something that we shouldn't forget. We'd love to, but it will be a positive year, we think, but distant, far away from the growth rates of 2020, 2021. You see, unfortunately, this is a year when, for the first time in our history, we can really make comparisons and budgets. Probably we have to take a look at 2 years ago instead of last year, because hopefully, with the rollout of the vaccination campaign, the hope is that we can go back to normalcy, also in terms of individual behaviors and society behaviors. So we think our benchmark is the year minus two, and I think many companies are doing. And compared to the previous year, then last, we definitely want to improve, but it will be difficult to replicate the extraordinary success of 2020, 2021. So in terms of gross margin too, Bruna was saying it before, unfortunately, the weight of the online channel today, and that we will keep the weight that it will still have, because many clients shopped online for the first time in 2020, and they will keep on doing it. Luckily enough, Italian customers have an omni-channel attitude, and this really goes hand in hand with Unieuro's proposal. But we are now going towards a direction where the online and offline prices will converge, and this does not help in improving margins. This year. M&As. So we have a story that is made up of them, of M&As. In 13 acquisitions in the past 15 years, stores mostly, and then also Moncler. But this trend was disrupted and interrupted in 2020, but it will resume again. We have a pipeline that we took care of during the whole of 2020. Today, we are considering some targets. Stores openings will resume. We opened one in Messina, two in Turin in the past couple of months. We will open stores, extremely relevant ones, in Rome and Milan, and also in extremely prestigious locations. So I would say there are story goes on. Unieuro's equity story is made up of organic growth and M&As. Organic growth, we keep opening stores, and M&A, I wish and hope that before the end of the year we can add some targets. But I'd like to be transparent on this too. The market performed well for everybody, so this really impacts the price of any acquisition, because if you have companies with better results, obviously the negotiation becomes a bit more expensive. And at the same time, I think that we really have need to keep up, because I believe that Unieuro has shown, if you think about it, that since 2017 till today, we grew by about 1 billion.
and two-thirds of which through acquisitions. And those who have been with us since the roadshow will remember that we actually started off by saying they were the only consolidator on the Italian market. I remember numbers from the, back then, because we talked about them many times. Our estimate was that the first three names in Italy were 59% of the market, and the European average of the top three was 79%. We had this 20-point gap. It was a potential of 1.7 billion on the market then, and I have to say that that was the amount to be aggregated. I would say that we aggregated two-thirds of it in 4 years, 700,000 euros. And I'm particularly pleased to underscore this because it really gives us credibility to what we have been saying. We have always tried to be transparent in whether things were going well or not. We always want to be very frank with our investors because this is a way to have a fair relationship between management and investors, because credibility is definitely very important. And I'd like to wrap up by saying that the only two difficulties today for M&A is that the market performed well for everybody, so negotiations are more expensive, but if it is strategic, we are going to do it. And the other thing is that we can't forget that with 270 stores and 260 affiliated, we have a satisfying footprint in the country. Of course, there are some regions in Italy where there is still room for growth. We had no coverage 2 years ago in Sicily and Campania. In Sicily, we performed a great acquisition, good results there. And in Campania, we had an agreement with a local entrepreneur in November, because the city of Naples is very complicated to manage. So we preferred to penetrate the local market with the local entrepreneur. They have 5 stores there, and that is also a way, an indirect way, to be present in a specific market. So M&A are still at the center of our attention. Next question, Andrea Bonfà, Banca Akros. Good morning. I have two questions, and they have to do with costs. If you can give us more colors on the reason why logistics cost rose more in the fourth quarter than in the third, and especially other costs. Vis-a-vis last year, they boomed. If you can give us a color on costs, also considering the bonus to employees. The second question has to do on your average cash level. You have a record cash level, very good cash generation. We have always maintained that the end of the period is always the best, but I think that you never have debt here. So can you talk about the trend of cash in the different quarters? Thank you. So I will answer then, Emanuele. So as you said, we thought it was fair in such a favorable momentum for the company to reward the makers of all this, so all our employees. So the extraordinary bonus we paid to them and the MBO to the different managers of the company and executive, it is a way to reward the people who made it all possible. We could afford it, and we did it because we really were very eager to do it. And we shouldn't forget that when we compare
the costs of this last quarter to last year, there are some effects that were not there last year. For example, the PPE effect, the sanitization of stores, everything that is needed to work in safety. So this was an addition. And then, as far as logistics is concerned, I give the floor to Emanuele. So still on costs, before talking about logistics, we have to go back to the margins that was in line with last year, but it was the result of two trends. The first was more promotions in the last quarter. For example, the Valentine's Day vouchers, this year it was particularly high. And this cannibalized the margin. And then, however, it was offset by the additional margin contributed to the Finiper and Conrad shop-in-shops that were not there in the last quarter. Costs. One of the cost items that really impacts the quarter is the cost of the Finiper and Conrad sales. So there were margins and costs, and this is something new. As to the rest of costs, I'd like to say that still in the third quarter, we had a residual positive effect of the discounts on rents. So most of the discounts were between first and second quarter, some discounts in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, this positive effect was missing. So if we take a look at last year's figures, we have higher results. But if we take a look at the expectations on the last quarter, well, one should also factor in this effect that is not difficult to be predicted. Then logistics. A regular trend there during the whole year, costs grew, in keeping with the growth of web and deliveries. This trend was confirmed in the last quarter. No large discounts there, but there have been initiatives implemented by the management to counter the effects of the first quarter, which is the risk provisions. Well, from this point of view, the company is selecting the suppliers of logistics, and it is very fragmented, this market, because you see, delivering home of small parcels, it is very easy to do it with international couriers. But if you have a large, you can't possibly deliver the white goods to with one single courier. So there is a fragmented market, and we are talking about. So the company is really getting equipped here. So we can say that one bit more in the tariffs or in the cost, in the balance sheet for this, there has been an increase, and this was flagged. We see it in the last quarter. So the second question on cash. I think that we can say quite comfortably that if we exclude the past year, where because the cash was positive because no dividend was distributed along the whole year, starting from this year, we will go back to the same seasonality of the past years. So we will have a physiological reduction in cash due to the company operating costs, CapEx, and even more important this year than in the past, then
as a result of the distribution of the extraordinary dividend. As in the past, this will drive to a negative cash situation in the summer between June and July. We know that the income statement of Unieuro is not flat along the months. The first quarter and the first half have less stellar results because the big season is mainly in the second half of the year. This is a trend that happened in all the past years, except for the last one. It is a physiological trend. No concerns there because we know that we have 154 million in cash, so we can have a couple of million, a couple of dozens millions negative in June. Next question from Rinaldo Leva, Mediobanca.
Good morning. I have two, three questions. The first one is to do with the working capital. In the past few years, there was a plan to reduce NWC. You went from 10 to 11. I'd like to understand if this 11.7 this year of negative working capital, if this is a structural level for the coming years. The second question is on EBIT. 25 million is the benefit of the furlough scheme rent reduction. If we were to stop the world at 2.7 billion sales, would you have 61 million of operating profit? Something I'd like to understand. I saw that the Net Promoter Scores are decreasing and also the loyalty cards. Is this something that you did deliberately? Because loyalty cards are sold in stores, but there was a minus 15% compared to the sales density last year. What happened to the NPS and the loyalty cards?
I'll answer the first question on the working capital. The dynamic of the working capital of a retail company like ours, well, you are familiar with it. You know the trend. This year, actually, as we saw before, there was a free cash. There was 72 million euros between net working capital free cash flow, and this result is given by the operating management. We had a trade working capital that was improving by 10 million euros. On the year, this effect is positive. If we were to compare to the previous quarter, then we were penalized by the inventory effect. This year, the inventory dropped because of the important measures of the management, and this will give a benefit in terms of working capital. What happened in the last quarter, I won't comment on this because we already spoke about it. We were more cautious in the stock in the last quarter. It was a deliberate choice. 9.2 million positive results here. This could have been more positive. Then, as you know, we also have the guarantees items, and this year we benefited even more from that, and also with the management of the Valentine's Day voucher with the same accounting dynamics.
And this means that there are no extraordinary factors there that prompted this year's result. There are some, you see, the result in guarantees was much higher. Next year it will be positive like 2 years ago, and we can't say that it will be the same this year. So 11.5%, 12%, right? So, as I said, this year there was a particularly positive situation in guarantees. Well, it depends on the trend in the sale of warranties. As far as the 25 million benefits linked to COVID, it's not always easy to put together a puzzle because the COVID really had effects on all the lines of the income statement. So we calculate the specific savings linked to COVID, and that's what the result was, 25 million. But we know that some effects were also on margin. So on the one hand, we can assume that these one-off benefits won't be there in the next income statement, and hopefully they won't be there, because if this was the case, it would be a bad sign for the community in general. So there will not be this benefit. If we adjust our income statement, we actually there are no important mismatches. So net of all the dynamics, this is pretty likely that it will be like this. NPS and loyalty cards, Bruna speaking. So NPS, it is diminishing. There is an improvement in the offline channel. The loss has to do with the online channel and explain the effects. So during the 2 weeks of closures, but in the whole first quarter, the Unieuro's online outperformed the market. In the case of Unieuro, in particular, as you know, over the years, we have always witnessed a share of click and collect that was dominating. So there was not just a boom in online, but a whole change in the mix of the sub-channel. So the click and collect part disappeared, and there was the only home delivery component. Our Piacenza platform was always open, luckily enough, but in the meantime, the hub and the logistics network, there we had issues due to the pandemic, and they impacted the level of service to customers. The other important effect is the fact that the offline channel held up, and this is linked to the second answer, the decrease in loyalty card, which is directly proportionate not just to the lower traffic in store, but also to the frequency and duration of the visit to the store. As you know, there is a striking decrease there, especially the first and second quarter. Customers spent less time in the store, and this translated into a higher redemption. And then they gather information only online, not in the store. That's why we have the two effects on NPS and loyalty cards. Thank you. So basically, NPS should be recovering now that the situation is back to normal. We expect a recovery also due to the market mix. There will be both sales offline, but also online. In the first year of the digital transformation, everything is focused on the smart supply chain to service the network. Thank you.
Q&A is over. So if there are no further questions, I'd like to thank you all for taking part, and especially for the questions that really enabled us to better express our opinion. But as you know, we are always available to you for any kind of further information you might have. Thank you and have a nice day.